Believe it or not, your church email newsletter is one of the most important tools at your disposal if you want to see more people get connected to your church. And in this episode, we're going to talk about some of the biggest mistakes that I see churches make when it comes to their newsletters. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about why your church newsletter isn't reaching anyone. I think this is an important conversation. I'm going to get this out of the way here first.
Yeah.
When we do church newsletter content or email content in general, it is some of our least viewed content. And if we were smart marketers, we'd probably stop doing this altogether. But I have to say that, like, I think it's just important enough that I'm willing to be the voice crying in the wilderness saying, get serious about your church email newsletter. Yeah. It really is something that is so important that you continue to do and you do it well and you don't ignore it. It is the wicked stepchild of so many churches where it's just kind of out of sight, out of mind. We've been doing it the same way for 20 years. Yeah. Nothing's changed. And my goodness, it is an enormous opportunity. So if you've made it this far, you clicked on the title and you're one of the chosen few that's interested in church newsletter content, I want to congratulate you. You're on to something. Your instincts are right. This is something that I think is as important as all the other things we talk about. I think there's a bigger opportunity here for churches than on social media in some cases. We talk all the time about YouTube and opportunities to use the Google Grant. I mean, email newsletters, although not sexy, we're fully aware of this, are super important. So say you, Ian?
No, I think you mentioned that. And not sexy and also maybe forgotten or kind of in some ways left behind. You know, churches may have fallen into the trap of that they're not relevant anymore because we have all sorts of other messaging and outlets now. We have, of course, social media. We have, of course, there's so many texting systems and those things that churches are using. So I can see how the old church newsletter, if it's looked at that way, gets abandoned. But you're right, still very effective. And so this should be helpful and a good refresher, or maybe help churches refresh their newsletter. So
yeah, I hope so. Yeah, okay, so let me give a little bit of context as to why I think it's so important. Is that we've come so far, if you're like most churches, you've probably been doing some kind of an email newsletter for literally like 20 years. My first ministry assignment was in 2003. I guess my first like vocational one where I actually worked at the church and I graduated from Bible college, 2003. And we were already sending an email newsletter back then. And most churches probably were. And I feel like we haven't actually grown in this area in a lot of churches. We're sending the same email newsletter that we sent 22 years ago in this particular case. And the reason why it's so important is because email is still that one channel that everybody still looks at. I know sometimes we want to dismiss it and say like, well, yeah, I don't really read my emails or something. And I guess that I think about my kids. They're not like really into getting emails. It's not as fun, right? People don't open up their email and say, what cool things am I going to find in here today?
Right.
It's usually kind of like something we have to look at because we get our receipts in there and when we get important messages from school or from our workplace. And so it remains something we have to look at. And so when it comes to getting information out there and getting attention from people, which is really a big part of the battle when it comes to church marketing, the email newsletter is still king in a lot of ways. In fact, I would say that as sexy as things like Instagram or TikTok and that kind of stuff are, you will always get more eyes on your content through an email newsletter than you will unless it's like one of those edge cases where you go viral with something.
Right.
Like the vast majority of your posts on those other channels are going to get way fewer views than your typical email newsletter is going to.
Yeah.
So that's why it remains something so important. It's also something that you own. Like it's not something that can be taken away from you. If you have an email letter, like a list of people you send an email to, that's something that you have kind of an ownership over and you
have
dictate
control over it.
Who gets it. Not like people that invested in Facebook and getting their audience big on there, well, now you have to pay every time you want to reach those people. So it really is, bar none, still one of the most important communication methods for churches. And so that's why we spend time talking about it at least a couple of times a year, because I think it's really something that's valuable. So
absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Totally agree. Good explanation, Thomas, just as to why. it's still effective and being utilized. So, yeah, so we have eight reasons why no one is reading your church's newsletter. So want to dive into the first of the eight?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Good. The first one is you're sending the wrong content. Right. That's something that I see a lot of churches making this mistake, is that we treat our email newsletter kind of like a to-do list for people.
Yeah.
So it's something that you send out just like a list of all the different, you know, what's happening at church this week kind of a list. So you're going to list everything from, you know, we're having youth group this night, and then the mental health support group that's meeting on Tuesdays, and you're going to not want to miss divorce care that's happening on Fridays. And it's just kind of like this, like a calendar update is what it is.
Yeah.
And what happens with that, like that's valuable like once or twice. But if you go to a church for 10 years and you get a weekly newsletter every single week, you're going to so quickly start to just dismiss that content because you've seen it 1,000 times. And generally speaking, it's the same thing. There's nothing that stands out to you. There's nothing of interest that's in it. And so typically people are going to ignore it. I promise you that as much as we want our church members to be doing this, they're not waiting for your email newsletter on Wednesday morning when it goes out and saying, oh, what's happening this week? Let me get my calendar and kind of compare it with the church calendar and get everything on there, right? That happens 0% of the time. It's kind of the way we envision it, but that's not it. So what you should be doing instead is really making sure that the things, like you're sending the right content. It means that you would send something that has a very broad reach. It's something that's valuable to just about every person that's in your church, or at least half of them is kind of my rule. So, so for instance, like in a week or two here at my church, we're doing a big baby dedication. That's something that's important for us to get out there and let people know about, but it's not something that meets the standard of our email newsletter, because what percentage of our church is going to be someone that is affected or needs to sign up for a baby dedication?
You know,
maybe 2% of our church had a baby in the last year or so, and we're doing a baby dedication for them. So that's something we kind of rule out. Instead, you want to target the information for things that are like big events that affect large groups of your people. So for us, we like, maybe you're wondering, well, you know, our men aren't quite half of our church.
Right.
So can I do a men's event? I say yes, because that affects more than half of your church. If, you know, if it's usually wives a lot of times that will elbow husbands and say, hey, you're going to go to this, this men's night that's coming up. So those kinds of events, big Easter events and Christmas holiday events, and all of those things are the kind of things you want to be putting in there. And that's what we've seen to get the best results.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, relevant content. You know, it reminded me too just of some of the churches that have been doing it the same way for so many years. They're, you know, just putting basically, it's like a church bulletin, you know, just in there, like to-dos and events, and that's it. So, no, well said, Thomas. Second one is, it's too long.
Yeah.
So keep it short.
Yeah. Absolutely. So this is my specialty, as you know, Ian, keeping things nice and short and not going long, right?
I think our listeners know your sarcasm there. Yes. So
I can be verbose sometimes. It's true.
Typical pastor. Yeah.
When it comes to your email newsletter, we do one here at Retried. We do one at my church that I'm an executive pastor at. My target is 100 to 150 words.
That's good.
So that's kind of the sweet spot we found. The reality is people are not going to read entire blog posts on your email newsletter. So usually you'll want something they can digest in about 60 seconds or so, which is 100 to 150 words. That's poignant. It's written in a way that's very to the point. Internet writing, one kind of tip is that you want almost like one sentence per line. Every time you have a new sentence, have a line break, it's just easier to digest, easier to read, and making sure you're asking questions and kind of just really engaging writing is what you're going after. Drop the longer format. The trick for this is, though, a lot of times you'll want to promote something that is longer in form. So we're doing this less and less. So fewer of us are doing blog posts, but it still can be something valuable occasionally for churches. But let's say you have a big event, like you have a big Christmas event coming up. Rather than talking about all the details and who you should be inviting and what we're going to be talking about and why our theme is what it is this year and getting into all the details, your best bet is to have a short, engaging bit of text on the email that drives them to click at the bottom and go to your website and read all of the details there if they want to get more. There's a few reasons for this. One of the most important ones is that email providers, they determine the value of your email and whether or not you wind up in spam or promotions or some of those other tabs based on how many people open your emails and how many people click on links in your email. So if we can get people to not just read it, but actually click off and go to our site, that's a big signal to Gmail or Yahoo that says, this is a good email. Like this is something that people care about. So let's show this email to more people. And anytime these guys email in the future, let's make sure that it goes into people's inboxes and not into their spam or their promotions folder. So for all those reasons, keeping it short and linking off onto your site is a better idea.
Yeah, exactly. Linking off. And then other than that, just attention span with email. Like you said, some people, they feel like they have to go to their email and they clean certain things out. So the more short and engaging you are, the better. So good points there, Thomas. So this next one we've covered a lot and we talk about it, still very relevant, is your subject lines boring.
Dude. Yeah. Super, super important. This is probably the most important thing. This one, or then the very last one, I think is really important too. So I don't want to undersell that other one, but this is something that I think that I just see missed all the time to this day. I'm on lots of different church email newsletters just because I get involved with churches and I wind up on them for a variety of reasons. But so many of them still just say like message from Pastor John, or here's the worst, First Baptist update, January 5, 2026 or whatever, right? That's what they'll say. Like that's the subject line.
Boring.
That is a clear way to like get people to not open it. And again, anytime you send an email that's unopened, that's a signal to email providers that this is not an engaging email. These people might be spamming. So next time, put this right into the spam folder or put this into the promotions folder, because this isn't an actual personal email going to somebody.
Yeah.
So you want to avoid that. The way to do that is to have engaging subject lines. I really recommend at this point, I'll just say this, AI is better at writing subject lines than I am now.
Yep.
And
yep.
so I would recommend that every time you are going to send out your church email newsletter, you write out your content, maybe use AI to help you draft it or come up with some ways to frame it, but get your content ready to go. Then put a prompt into ChatGPT or Claude or whatever you use for AI and say, you are a world-class email marketer. You were just given this text to send as the body of an email. Now write the perfect subject line that will have the highest open rates for my audience, which is members of this church, whatever your church name is.
Yeah.
It's going to come up with something almost certainly better than you would. And even if it doesn't, it gets you pretty close. It'll get you 90% of the way there.
Something you
might tweak a little word, something like that. But I would recommend, I do this every time I ever send an email, is I spend lots of time on AI brainstorming. I usually have an idea of where I want to go. And I would say often I don't go with its exact recommendation, but it gives me the juice and what I need to choose the right thing for my audience, just knowing what I know now. So I think this is something that's a easy thing to fix. It actually will save you time rather than sitting and brainstorming this whole time. Use AI, do it, spend the extra 2 minutes to get that done, and you're going to get higher open rates, and therefore more people are going to get engaged with your church, more people hear the gospel. It's just a total win. So
it's helped make our sure emails here at Reach Right when we send them out to clients or potential new churches to partner with. I know it's helped me big time, and some of the running my emails through it, I'm like, wow, I didn't think of that. So good. Same thing for your newsletter. So this next one you would think would be a no-brainer, but we still see some really ugly newsletters as far as being ugly over mobile. So you're not mobile friendly with your newsletter. That's something you got to fix right away.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so most email is now being read on a mobile device initially, at least. So I look at my email on my phone all the time, but then I'll usually do most of my responding on my computer, unless it's like a short, you know, couple of words or something. But if I have to write, you know, a few sentences or something, I'll probably get onto my computer. So it is really important that you get this right from a mobile perspective. I think the big mistakes I see churches making is using fonts that are too large because they've designed the email on a computer and they looked at it on there. But when you actually get on a mobile device, it's, you know, 2 words per line and really hard to read. I would also say this too, is that I think people put a lot of attention into the design of their church email newsletter. And I don't think it really matters that much. I think, like, I would very much encourage every church to spend 10 times as much time on the content as you do on the design of an email yeah. newsletter that you do. So you think about it too, like we've done so much testing on this for Retrite. When we send out our email newsletter, we do our very best to make it feel like it's an actual message, like an email that I personally typed out to you. Like, so there's not any extra design. Sometimes I'll have a little GIF or something in there to kind of illustrate a point. I think my signature has our Retrite logo on it. Same thing for my church. We'll have our church logo on it. But I would dissuade you from doing boxes and all kinds of frames and different patterns and that kind of stuff on there, because that is a signal that it's a promotional email and not something that's a personal email that's being sent from an actual individual person. Just like when you write an email to a friend, you're not concerned with the designs of it and, you know, are you using the right colors and branding and stuff on your personal email. It's just plain. It's plain text, and let the content of what you're trying to say speak for itself. So that's some of my big advice, is that for mobile friendliness, I just strongly encourage you to drop a lot of your design and just make it super simple and focus on your content instead.
That's good, because a lot of people, when they think mobile, they just mean like the layout, how it looks on a phone. But yeah, that's a good tweak. So the fifth one here, as far as why no one's checking out your newsletter, is you never change it up. It's the same boring thing. Makes me think of what I was saying with just the bulletin and here's what we have coming up. Like you said, January. Yeah,
I think this is it. I think it's something that I see so much that it's just... even though it's different events in there, it's really the same thing every single time. And so, you know, it's hard to do, because we like to have just kind of this rhythm, especially in churches. We have our liturgy on Sundays and, you know, we don't go into church, and sometimes we'll preach first and then do the worship. And then sometimes we'll do announcements and then worship and then sermon. We keep it all the same, right? And so we want to kind of do that when it comes to email. And there is some health to that. Like, I wouldn't recommend that you are doing totally different color palettes. Like, again, I'm against them in general, but using totally unique, unproven strategies all the time. But I just think that, like, your best bet is to focus on the actual copywriting that you're putting into your email there and lean into that really heavily, and then make it about different things. Make it about different parts of faith. I really encourage churches to do more spiritual development newsletters as opposed to update letters. So, you know, a pastor sharing what God is showing him this week and why it might matter to his church will always be more valuable, I think, than consistently posting your church's schedule. So take the time to do that and make it different every week. Really hear from the Lord about what does he want to say to our church, and get that kind of content out to people. That will always be more open than just a general kind of a status update on what's happening.
That's right, because people get used to that. But if it's something that's creative and new, it's going to catch their eye a little bit more to check it out. So that's good. Next one, one of our favorite things that we always recommend in a lot of stuff, online marketing and communication, is using clear calls to action. So if you're not doing that in your newsletter, then obviously you're missing out. So asking people to do something from your newsletter. So
So a couple of things to say. I think you make a good point here. And if you're not asking someone to do something as a result of sending the email, you didn't need to send the email. Like, that doesn't need to happen. Like, just like when I personally send an email to you, or I know we use more Slack in the office here with stuff, but for that. But when I send an email to someone, I expect some kind of a response. It necessitates them to say something or reply. And so many times we make this mistake of just content dumping on people, information dumping on our church instead of asking them to do something with it.
Yeah.
Another tip is that sometimes you'll be tempted to say, hey, if you want to get involved with men's ministry, you can click here. If you want to sign up for baby baptism, click here. If you want to be baptized yourself, baby baptism, we don't do that. But baby dedication, I think I said. So our baby baptizing people, God bless you guys too. So I said that for you.
Sprinkling.
Here's the point. One call to action per email. Only one. Yep. You know, maybe sometimes you'll have a link in the footer or like in your signature or something like that, but just choose one. Emails yep. should have one purpose that you're sending it for. So if you are making an appeal to sign up to be baptized, talk about what baptism means. Or maybe you'll tell the story of in the book of Acts and Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and what God's speaking yeah. to you about it. And then the call to action is, are you interested in being baptized? Click here to sign up. You know, just have one clear next step that they can take.
Yeah.
I see this so much in church announcements and things too, where like only have one way to do it and you're better off also. So yeah. don't say, hey, if you want to get baptized, stop by our info booth after service this Sunday, or yeah. you can click on the link below and register, or you can send yeah. an email to Pastor Ed and let him know any questions you might have. No,
yeah.
just one. Choose yeah. one and you'll always get better results. I don't yep. really even care which one it is. Usually if it's an email, it should be something you can do online. But
yeah.
generally speaking, you're best off having just one step you want someone yep. to make take as a result of sending the email and make it clear and give them one option.
Yeah, a lot of options equals more work and people get frustrated. They're already in a rush when they're checking your email newsletter out. So yeah, absolutely, Thomas. So next one's a good one, I think. You're sending it to the wrong people.
Mm, yeah. Okay. This is good. The term in marketing is segmenting. And what this means is that you have different segments of your list that you send different emails to. Like, so most of us, and I think this is what most churches do, is they have one giant church email list. And every single time you want to send an email, it goes out to the entire list. And it yeah. doesn't consider the fact that the vast majority of people a lot of times are not interested in every single update we might have at our church.
Right.
Instead, it's a best practice to build some different segments so that you send the right email to the right people. So for instance, obvious ones are things like parents of kids that are in children's ministry. If you yeah. have an update about something happening, that you're having a big kids performance or the choir, kids choir is singing this weekend, you know, you may want to send that out to the whole church. That's something you can decide. But if you're going to send an update that says, hey, make sure kids are there at 8:30 to practice and be prepared, that does not need to go out to the whole church.
Right.
Because what happens is if people that don't need to see that email see it, they're less likely to open emails in the future. You're
yep.
more likely to wind up in spam and all those things. So
yep.
kids ministry, youth, men's ministry, women's ministry. So all of your major ministries, I'd recommend having a specific segment for each one of those. And I think a segment, we do one for like newer people to our church.
Right.
Because we have certain steps we want them to take. So if they've been there under a year is kind of our limit.
Yep.
And then once they've met certain criteria, we'll take them off that list too. But you know, inviting them to our Aloha lunch where we introduce them to the church, or our growth track where they take their first steps towards following Jesus, and just having lots of things that newer people would be interested in, having that on a specific list that goes out to those people. So the idea is segment your list, send the right emails to the right people, and you'll be better off.
Yeah, that's it. Good stuff, man. And that's actually a good segue to the last one here, which you alluded to being probably one of the most important, is you're not purging your list.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is one of my favorite ones to talk about because yeah. it feels dirty when you yeah. do this. I'm going to tell you, I'll just tell you something that I did it yesterday for Reach Right. We have a lot of people that come into our email lists. We have lots of people signing up for different things we offer. We have all kinds of free resources. And here's the reality is, while most people appreciate our emails, there's a fact that some don't.
Yep.
As much as I hate it, it's my words. The things that I say, people don't always like it, and it breaks my heart. And
yeah, so what that's what they tell me. It's what you said, Thomas. I'm kidding.
Exactly. I would have worked with Reach Right, but that Thomas,
yeah.
that's it.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is, on occasion, I would probably make this part of like your, maybe at least once a quarter I would do this. We do this more like once a month here. Is I go in, or my marketing team goes in, we take a look at everybody that hasn't opened one of our emails in the last 3 months.
Yeah.
And we go through that list and then we delete it. We
yeah.
delete all of these emails and just say, you know what? They haven't opened 3 months. They haven't opened 13 emails in a row.
We pray over them first and then yes.
They haven't opened 13 of my emails in a row. Chances are they're probably just not that interested anymore
yeah.
in what we're saying. And as much as that pains me, because I think everything I say is gold, kid, but it hurts to do that. Now,
yeah.
here's the thing. For churches, it hurts even more to do it because you're going to see that list. I don't even recommend
yeah.
looking at it.
Yeah.
But if you do the same thing and delete anybody that hasn't opened 13 emails in a row from your list, if you looked at that list of people, you'll see that person's like a faith. That guy's my friend. Like, yeah. I really like that person, or that person definitely goes to our church still.
Yeah.
But the fact is, if they're not opening their emails, they're only hurting your deliverability, and they're not going to open any in the future if you are realistic about it. So you need to get in the habit of quarterly getting in there, taking your entire list. And almost every email provider, whether you use MailChimp or Constant Contact, we here use Zoho campaigns for it. It'll give you a tool that lets you locate all the emails that haven't opened anything in X amount of time. Maybe you decide maybe 6 months is right for you. You want to be really careful on things. And then you just go in and you have to hit that delete button. I'll tell you, the first time you do it, it feels like you're kicking people out of your church. Like you're excommunicating them or something, saying that they're not part of the list anymore. That's not what it is. It's just that they're not opening it. So you shouldn't send emails to people that that don't want to read your emails.
Right.
And so you have to make that decision. I know it's hard, but take your medicine. It's good for you. And what it will do in the end, here's the big payoff, is that more people will get delivered your emails in the future, and therefore more people will read your emails. And I would argue more people will get engaged with your church. More people will hear the gospel if you have good list hygiene. So it's hard, but something you got to do.
Yeah. And this is unrelated, but it made me think of this too. Don't add people that you don't want to be added to it. So I've been added to church email, church newsletters, just because I talk to it. And even though it's great, we want to be in the loop. If they're not asking to be added, don't add them. For example, if someone comes and does a repair or maintenance on your at your house and you had their email, that doesn't mean they want to be on your church newsletter. Just a funny thing. Side note. So, but anyway.
It's kind of true. Yeah. I mean, I think that like there is some legal reasons for that too. Like I've never heard of an account of someone like a church getting sued or something like that for emailing someone who didn't request to be on the list. But there are legal requirements that you have to get an opt-in when we put someone on your email list. Yeah. So, you know, you should be following those kinds of things. But I just think practically, don't email people that don't want it and you'll be better off. That's the bottom
line. That's it.
Good. I hope this is helpful. Ian, you have anything to add about church email?
I just hope that, again, churches that maybe gave up on it, consider it again. And then also churches that where we've identified some of the areas you can improve on, refresh your newsletter. And definitely an effective thing. I follow my church's newsletter still. So,
Do you open it?
I do. Not all of them, but I do open them. So,
how do you know how often you get them? A lot of times we won't. You won't know. I don't remember. Is it weekly
once a
or
month,
more than once?
Typically, once a month or so. Yeah.
That's how often it gets sent? It's just once a month at your church, you're saying?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant how often I open them. No, weekly.
Okay.
So,
they get weekly ones. Okay. Guys, it's worth it. It's something that I think every church should still be doing. And I think you take a couple of these tips and implement them, and I think you'll make a pretty big difference, and you'll see more engagement in your church. So do it. I hope it's been helpful. Thanks for watching the Reach Right podcast. We'll see you next time.
See you.